Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres get ready for another game against the Mets at Petco. And we would let our host Jesse Agler introduce his co-host Kurt Bavacqua, but, he'd end up doing it kind of weird, period.
Kurt Bavacqua, colon, serious man.
Colon?
Yeah. No, like in a set, like punctuation,
oh,
not
okay.
Anatomy.
There you go.
It's much easier to just say it's the great Kurt Bavacqua.
Great is okay. You're good with great. As long as you're good with great, I'm good with great.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bavacqua.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, live at Petco Park. Game two of a three-game series coming up between the Padres and the Mets. We are in the AMR studios, and the Mets are taking batting practice, and somebody was just assaulting our little patio here, the AMR down the, what do they call this thing, down the line suite? They were assaulting it with baseball home runs. Kurt Bavacqua is here. Another KB is here right at the start of the show
as
well.
Two KBs.
Two KBs. Better than one.
Absolutely.
Kevin Burkhardt from Fox Sports, longtime reporter for the New York Mets on SNY. Now he's a big shot. He's a national television celebrity, and he's nice enough to grace us with his presence. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to see you.
Hey, you too, man.
It's nice to meet you, KB.
It's nice to meet you also.
I'm good. You know, things are good. I'm you know, Jess, I'm a California boy now, so I'm out here. I'm out here as a fan. I came to say hello to some of the Padres and the Mets that I know and just watch a game tonight. So it's a little different. It'll be fun.
It was cool during the playoffs last year. We saw you on FS1 and Buddy Black was there with you for that special sort of, what was it, the Sabermetrics broadcast, whatever we were calling it.
And he was great.
He was first of all, it was really, really fun to watch.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it tremendously, sort of that alternative telecast during the playoffs. I thought Buddy was outstanding.
He was great. It was funny. He came out, and I think you were there, but he said, hey, let me say hello to my broadcast partner. He is such a good guy, and you know you root for him to do well and for this team to do well. But he, at some point down the road, if he wants it, he'll have a broadcasting career. He's so savvy and so good. You know, for a manager to be able to step on a show like that, a Sabermetric show, and just fit right in like he did, I was impressed. It was pretty neat.
Buddy fit into a Sabermetric. I missed it.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see
it. It was really cool. It was really cool. Just kind of a neat, different angle, you know, kind of a one-day special. And I thought it was outstanding. Your old team here, the Mets, we were quite impressed by Jacob deGrom last night.
I should say so. Look, they have plenty of pitching. So if they hit it all, they could easily be a playoff team. And I think if they don't, the reason is injuries. You know, they need the catcher, Travis d'Arnaud, to come back. He was really playing well before he got hurt. And David Wright, who knows with that back, with the stenosis in his back, how that's going to heal. Those are two big offensive cogs to have out. So, you know, they're going to have to scrape by like they've done. But DeGrom, the kid going tonight, Syndergaard, where do you see him? I mean, he's just scratching the surface. He's just starting here. He throws 98. He's got a killer curve. Change is getting there. That's what they roll out. You know about Harvey already. They are loaded with arms. So now can they hit enough is the big question.
I don't think you can convince Andrew Cashner they can't hit.
Well,
because he strikes out 12
last
night was one of the weirdest baseball games I've ever watched.
Such
one
an anomaly, right? I mean, what a weird game.
He strikes out 12 in five innings. And any ball that he missed, when he made a mistake, they did not miss
him.
It was truly remarkable.
Ruben Tejada was all over him. It was that kind of night. It was
and
strange.
So was Murphy.
Yeah, Murphy too. Yeah, with the home run.
And this guy tonight, I was just talking to Terry Collins. I hope he doesn't do better than DeGrom did last night. I mean, it
would be hard to do better than DeGrom did last night.
This kid's like, he's not 5'11 either.
No.
I mean, he's like 6'7 or something.
He's 6'6", you know, 250. He's built like that. They call him Thor for a reason. There you go.
Big, giant human being. And what, in his last start, too, which was his fourth big league start, he goes 3-for-3 at the plate with like a 430-foot home run the other way.
He hit a bunch of home runs in the minors. It's no fluke when you see him stand up there. He's got some real power.
The Mets have always had good pitching in their minor league system. I can remember when I was coming up in the minor leagues. I remember going in to face a Met farm team one time, and we were amazed at how hard they threw and how good their curveballs were.
Yeah.
All of the guys on the staff. And then you look it up at their major league club, and they had Nolan Ryan and Gary Gentry and Jerry Kuzman.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good organization, evidently.
You know what, Kurt, they always had, like, the history is pitching, you're 100% right, and they've always had a lot of those young arms, but they went through a pretty big dry spell where they had a lot of these young guys hit and come up and miss. And so this is pretty impressive right now. I mean, Harvey's a homegrown guy. DeGrom's a homegrown guy. Now, Syndergaard, they traded in the R.A. Dickey trade to Toronto, but this is a pretty special time. And, you know, you already have hit on two guys, and now if this kid, Syndergaard, I mean, that's
– And you're not even talking about Zach Wheeler,
right,
who's had the Tommy John surgery.
And he really started
really
to come
good.
On last year, too. So, you know, they're in a good position. There's no question about it.
Nice to be able to pitch.
And I think the Nationals are vulnerable. You know, I don't – they're obviously very good, but and they have the pitching, too. But they have to prove it to me still. You know, they have to prove it to me. They won in the month of May because Bryce Harper was insane. So if he's not insane, are they going to have enough offense? I don't know that they are. I haven't seen it.
We saw it firsthand with Harper.
Yeah, we saw insane firsthand.
Yeah. It was insane. That's exactly the right word.
It was crazy.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
It was insane. Yeah, the span's hurt again, right? I don't think we see the Nationals again until August. But, you know, I think they're exactly what you said. They're one of those teams where everybody's like, let's see them do it. Over the course of an entire regular season and then even into the playoffs because they haven't had the playoff success. So I think that's definitely the category they fall into.
Who was it? He was crazy swinging the bat, but the thing that impressed me the most, who was pitching the day he broke up the no-hitter, I think, and he got a triple? Was it Despaigne?
I don't think it was.
They were making him look bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole team.
Yeah.
And it was like the third or fourth inning. And he led off with a triple.
Yeah.
And he comes into third base, and he's going crazy. And it showed his leadership role.
Yeah.
I mean, his head's in the dugout, and he's pumping. He's getting the guys pumped up.
And it's funny. He used to get killed for the emotion, right? And now I agree with you, by the way. I think he carries the team. But, you know, now it's like, hey, well, he's leading the team. I think you're right.
Look at how good are our guys. Look at that.
That took a second and a half.
Ian Kennedy, by the way.
I got to tell you, is Ian Kennedy, that was not set up. So I don't know how they got it that quick.
This is blooper, man. Blooper, this is what he does.
I tell you what, you're impressing me every telecast now.
We give him he's a complete one-man show.
Wow.
Now, Burkhardt, this is not big national television here.
Couldn't have done that on
Los
ESPN.
Angeles.
Get out of Dodge.
This little kid from Long Island, this is all he can do. He just sits at his little computer and he calls up, oh, you're talking about Bryce Harper? No problem. I don't think
that's a little computer. That's like that's a NASA type setup he's got over there.
Mission control.
You know?
Hey, tell us a little bit about your role there. Obviously, we see you during the fall, Fox NFL, calling some great games into the postseason as well. But you're keeping busy year-round, aren't you?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I'm lucky. It's been so much fun. Yeah, I've done NFL play-by-play for them the last 2 years with John Lynch, who is as good as anybody.
He's doing a good job.
He's really, really,
really
good.
Is.
And he's a tremendous guy. I don't know if you guys have ever met him or know him. So he and Pam Oliver are our team and going to be back for another year together this year, and it's great. And then for baseball, I do pre- and post-game for Saturday games, which are game of the weeks, and then every postseason game and the World Series and stuff. And then we have this show called The Whip Around that's on during the week. It's on most times 4 o'clock Pacific time. And what we do is we jump in and out of games. We, you know, we break down some different things, and I get to work with cool people like Mark Sweeney comes on the show, Frank Thomas, Raul Ibanez, all these guys, Pete Rose.
Yeah,
it's really fun. I mean, you get to pick these guys' brains, and and it's happening live. We're jumping in and out of games that are starting, so I'm loving it.
That's fun to do that.
It's great. It's been a different role for me, but 8 years of the Mets, it was cool to change it up this year. Been fun.
That's awesome. So you can catch The Whip Around on FS1. You see Kevin all fall long doing some big-time football games over on Fox and doing an outstanding job, too. And not for nothing, one of the best dudes in the business. Absolutely one of the best dudes in the business.
I mean, that's coming from you, who I appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
Can I say something? We don't have a couch. This is a nice couch. We don't have a couch this quality at FS1. Can I arrange maybe a transport this up the
You call Jerome's. Jerry will take care of you.
All right.
Jerome's
this is very comfortable.
I tell you who to get the call. and you got it. Done deal.
Yeah.
Get Lynch
that's
to call.
It.
Get Lynch to call.
That obviously works.
Lynch can get it
He's
done.
He's got a heck of a lot more pull than I do, by the way.
We can get you all the furniture you need and Padre tickets,
Let's
too.
See. Let's see. Hall of Fame safety or a guy who talks on television occasionally about sports? I don't think I'm going to win that
one.
No,
he's from San Diego.
And he's from – and he still lives in San Diego.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, that'll work out pretty well. Awesome. 2KB's better than one, Kevin Burkhardt. Give him a follow on Twitter as well, at Kevin Burkhardt. Watch him on the whip around and football this fall as well. Thanks, man. Really appreciate
Thanks,
you
guys.
Stopping by.
Appreciate you having me.
Awesome. That's Kevin Burkhardt. We'll take a break, come back, and other KB and I, Kurt Bavakwa, will break down on more of last night's game, that weird 7-0 Met victory. During your next trip to Petco, check out a seat at The Rail, presented by Montalvo Tequila. This bar rail seating area is in the Western Metal Building and features in-seat waiter service, plus great views of the field. Buy tickets to sit at The Rail at Padres.com. Thanks again to Kevin Burkhardt. Take a break, come back, talk about last night's strange one here at Petco. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines here at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Thanks again to Kevin Burkhardt of Fox Sports for swinging by and hanging out. That's a good dude, man.
He's a good guy.
Met him back in 2007. It was my last year doing stuff on the Marlin broadcast. It was his first year doing stuff on the Met broadcast. So, you know, saw him a bunch with the divisional play and just kind of kept in touch over the years. And his career has taken off in a big way.
So you've known him for quite a while now.
I've known him for 8 years, which is crazy because I feel like I'm not old enough to have sort of like professionally known people for that long. But I do, and I guess that's reality. But he does such a good job, man. That whip around show is a lot of fun. And then obviously on the NFL. Too. Speaking of football, we're going to have another football guest coming up in a little bit. One of the great Aztecs, Ryan Lindley, the quarterback.
You know, the more popular the show becomes, the more guests you're going to be able to get.
It's funny how that happens, right? Now, I don't know about Eddie Murray and Raleigh Fingers. That's a little bit over my head. But for your show, that was outstanding on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Nice job, man.
That was a lot of fun
to watch.
Johnny Carson started out slow.
Did he?
Yeah.
Who was Johnny Carson's first guest that it was slow?
People started calling him.
No, I like the way you're thinking. Everybody's just going to stop by Padres Social Hour now.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're having a lot of fun. Hey, remember, it's an interactive program. You can use the hashtag on Twitter, PadresSH, to chat with us. So you just do that. You lock in with your questions and your answers. You can also chat with Becky and other Padre fans at Padres.com/Social Hour. But you're right, though. Those sort of, like, fun drop-ins are cool.
Yeah,
like, Ryan Lindley, we didn't know he was going to stop by until, like, a half an hour ago. Like, Burkhardt, I didn't find out until a couple of hours ago. So that is cool. And yesterday, Heath Bell dropped by. That was a lot of fun, catching up with Heath Bell and Friar Fever, who apparently is very excited about Sepp Blatter stepping down as the head of FIFA. He tweets about it, in fact. And yesterday, here's the thing, KB. You know, we do a lot of sock talk on this show. Mm-hmm. Sock talk.
Sock talk. Yeah. Mine's
yours
covered
are,
up.
By the way, very.
Covered up a little.
That's strong today. What do you got there?
There's some comfortable socks that they sell here that I think it's announced, so I think I'm safe to say.
Oh, you sound like you're going to break some news.
Yeah.
Sock news is the best kind of news. Stan socks.
Stan socks.
Great socks.
Yes, they are.
They kind of look like cool old stripy baseball socks.
I think it's been announced that that they have a deal with their license through MLB now.
Ah, that would explain why they're here in the team store.
Yeah, but they've been here for a while.
Oh, they have. Okay.
But I think they're going to come out with Padre socks and all the different team socks with maybe individual players.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're doing licensing deals. So
yes.
If I got you some Tommy Lasorda socks, would you wear them?
No.
Okay, good.
But I'd use them for other things.
In the garden, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Friar Fever, as we said, very excited about Sepp Blatter stepping down because he's changed his name to Friar FIFA. He says, Burkhardt has the shoes to match. Look what Heath Bell has started. So as I was saying, we got a lot of sock talk, but yesterday Heath Bell started the shoe talk. He had Star Wars shoes on, and Burkhardt apparently had nice shoes too, although I didn't even notice. I got to admit that.
Well, shoes and socks are a big part of the show. Because they're
how
seen.
We sit. Yeah. No, that's a good point. And I go comfort over style when it comes to shoes.
You have to.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, you have to.
If
I
you
mean,
can
nobody
find...
knows or nobody will ever see our belts.
Right.
We don't have to worry about that.
That's a good point.
Pants don't even have to be done, really. I mean, nobody would know.
Are you suggesting your pants are undone right now?
No, they're not.
All right.
They're not. But
so if Blooper came over and checked, they would be buttoned?
Yes.
Okay.
They would.
Blooper, you want to do that? No,
but
you,
I've had PJs on a couple of times, and people haven't even noticed.
Oh, well, on that wider shot, you never know.
It'd have to be really wide.
Yeah, no, fair enough. All right, so that's Twitter. That's Padres SH with a hashtag. 7-0 last night. Jacob DeGrom, National League Rookie of the Year last year. Look, you know he's good. He comes in with the reputation and everything like that. Seeing it in person, though, that was electric stuff last night. That was special. That just wasn't a guy locked in. That was a guy at the absolute top of his game. That was really, really impressive last night.
I was kind of impressed with both pitchers.
Yeah,
to be
we'll talk about
honest
Cash
with
for
you.
Sure.
But DeGrom was, he was extra special. I'm watching the first three or four innings, and he's throwing fastball after fastball after fastball, and he's making outs, hadn't given up a hit, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't even want to see this guy start throwing breaking balls. I mean, he might have mixed in one breaking ball out of 10 or 15 pitches, but most of them were fastballs, and he's getting the job done because he's hitting the corners. The umpiring, this guy got a little bit inconsistent from about the fourth or fifth inning on.
It was pretty big. It got pretty big.
A big inconsistent? I wanted to give him a little bit of a break. But an inconsistent big zone.
Okay.
Which is not good. And that's the reason Matt Kemp got struck out. It's the reason that Justin Upton could have gotten thrown out of the game also because he made two calls on Justin Upton, one of them for a ball and one of them for a strike that were almost identical pitches. The one he called for a strike was further outside.
Yeah. That's got to be a frustrating thing. I remember
there was one over the
weekend with the Pirates. You know, you're watching the Fox Tracks on TV, and it was like ball three, and then the Fox Tracks for the next pitch, it was literally right on top of it. Right on top, like the exact same location, and he called him out for strike three.
Speaking of Fox Tracks, you're a big wig there. So
where?
At Fox.
No, I'm not. I'm the littlest wig.
Well,
I'm the smallest wig at all. I don't even work for Fox.
But you're a wig.
Okay. I know people. How about that?
There you go.
Okay, I'm not a wig, but I know people.
What's up with Fox Tracks? Why isn't it on more?
I think it's sort of a pick-and-choose sort of thing.
But who picks and who chooses?
I don't know. The bosses.
I need to wig out on somebody.
You want it up all the time? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It's interesting because I imagine there's a lot of the discussion about that among television executives, sports television executives, and whether they want it up all the time, yes or no. But as a fan, you want it up all the time, every pitch.
As someone in the profession, it needs to be up because somebody has to hold the umpire's hands to the fire.
All right.
They can't be inconsistent like that.
I understand.
They need to go out and do their job, and if they can't do it, guess what? They need to find somebody that's good at the home plate umpiring calls,
yeah,
and put them back there all the time.
All-time balls and strikes guy.
That's it.
So no more rotation. Like, hey, you're good at balls and strikes. You're going to stay back there. You just need however many crews there are, that number of guys to just be plate umpires. That's a really interesting theory. That's very interesting to me.
You like that?
You take, like, the guys that rated most highly on balls and strikes in the previous season. The next year, they're the crew chiefs, and they're the guys behind the plate every night. They would take a beating, though, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would take a beating, and that's why you would need some relief there. But
okay.
But
all right, you've really thought this through. I'm impressed.
You know why? Because you can't hold the plate umpire's foot to the fire because you can't challenge it.
Right.
They need to get a challenge in there, and they need to keep Fox Tracks up all the time.
How many times a game would you be okay with a manager challenging a ball or strike call? Once.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
We'll start out
right?
with one.
That'd be interesting. You know. Ninth inning tie game, bases
Absolutely.
Loaded, you know.
Absolutely.
Ball four or strike three. And it's all up to the computer. It's a very interesting thought. Let's talk about Andrew Cashner. Last night, one of the absolute strangest pitching lines you will ever see in your life. You've been watching baseball for how many years?
A long time.
A long time. You will never see something like that again.
It was really strange. I'm sitting there and I'm watching the game and I'm seeing these two great pitchers on the mound, throwing the major league hitters, and they are just making them look like fools. But as soon as Andrew makes a mistake, the Mets jumped on it. They did not miss, and I said this earlier in the show,
yeah.
They did not miss his mistakes, whereas the Padres hit a couple of balls early on fairly hard right at somebody. And they could have, you know, the game could have been a tie game up to 2-2 or 3-3 or somewhere along those lines. And then the Met pitcher kind of took things into his own hands and really started throwing the ball really, really well.
Yeah. No, I mean, he was perfect through five. Anytime you do that, it's pretty good. Clint Barmas breaks it up with a nice hard hit, clean base hit in the sixth inning, leading off the sixth inning. And then just one more hit the rest of the night against him. So he allows just the two hits in his eight shutout innings. And then Cashner, what, 4 2/3, six runs, five of which were earned. That's 10 hits, right? And you look at that and you're like, ooh, but then the 12 strikeouts. It's just incredible. When, you know, BABIP is one of those stats, you know, that we kick around sometimes, batting average on balls in play. And, I mean, the BABIP had to be around 800 against Andrew Cashner last night, which is obviously insane. Because when the ball was put in play, it was good news for the Mets. And it was just one of the weirdest nights a starting pitcher could ever have because Andrew Cashner pitched his butt off. He struck 12 guys out. But, boy, when they made contact, when the ball was put in play, really good things happened for the Mets. Very, very strange.
It was a little strange. Tejada and Murphy were the two guys. What are they? Six for six their first three times
around?
Yeah,
they were getting on, including the homer for Murphy, including the homer, which he just sort of reached out. I mean, it's almost inexplicable, right? Can you explain Andrew Cashner's night last night?
No, I really can't. I don't think he can.
It's just one of the weirdest things we've ever seen. Absolutely.
If he learned one thing, is to not make mistakes anymore.
Oh, yeah, sure. Easy.
Yeah, I know. No problem,
okay,
right?
Yeah, just don't make any more mistakes.
Exactly.
A couple other things from last night I want to touch on. One would be Austin Hedges. The arm, man, that's special.
It is.
I mean, him, the quickness of the release for throwing down to second base. And by the way, we've seen Derek Norris make a ton of great throws down to second this year. But Hedges, the release, the accuracy, the fire on the ball as it goes down there, you understand all of the hype coming in with Austin Hedges. There's no doubt.
There is no doubt about it. And what they need to do is get him back into minor leagues and let him play every day.
That's your opinion?
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, Buddy's asked about it pretty frequently. And the other day, maybe yesterday, he was talking about it, and he said, hey, he is picking up a lot of things here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in these meetings. You know, every time that Norris and the starting pitcher, when Hedges isn't playing, when Norris and the starting pitcher and Darren Balsley and whoever, they get together for their meeting, their scouting reports, all that, Hedges is in there. He's in all that. So he is absorbing and learning and being exposed to things, you know, that he wouldn't be down at AAA. But as you said, the other side of that is he's not playing. He's a backup quarterback right now, right? I mean, that's kind of what it is. You're in all the meetings. You're learning all of the things. You're taking those mental reps, as it said, you know, on the bench watching. But there's nothing like live bullets. And I see both sides of it. I don't know that there's a right answer. You've got your opinion, obviously. And is it more offensive? Is that why you're saying that, you know, because of the actual at-bats?
I think you need to get at-bats. It's hard for somebody to come up with after 300, 400, 500 minor league at-bats and just go bang in at the major league level. I mean, there's just so many good major league pitchers nowadays. It's hard for a young kid to come up and be able to just jump into the lineup and make a big splash unless you've had quite a few minor league at-bats. And I don't think he's had as many as he needs. Defensively, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that he can do an everyday job here. But when you've got a guy like Derek Norris going out and doing what he's doing, unless his ball club is prepared to trade Norris and put Hedges behind the plate 100% of the time, then they're going to have to make a decision, especially when Fedorovich gets back and he's ready to play.
It'll be interesting to see how A.J. Preller, Buddy Black, and company handle it as time goes on. All right, we got a lot of good tweets coming in using that hashtag PadresSH. We'll get to those when we come back. Also, Ryan Lindley is going to join us. Speaking of quarterbacks, I was just talking about quarterbacks. How about that? Ryan Lindley is going to join us on the couch. San Diego guy. Great Aztec with the Cardinals last year, the Arizona Cardinals, the football Cardinals, and a big Padre fan.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got his Padre hat. He looks like a real fan. He doesn't look like some guy that just stopped by the store, got the hat because he was coming on TV. That looks like a hat that he probably had previously. It is. Thank goodness after saying that. So Ryan Lindley is going to hang out for a little bit. We'll talk some baseball and some football with him as well. And another exciting thing taking place here, not just this game tonight, next summer, the All-Star Game, Petco Park. To guarantee your opportunity to purchase tickets to it, become a Padres season ticket member at the gold or platinum level and lock in your chance to get tickets. To learn more, visit Padres.com/ASG Padres.com/ASG. We'll take a break, come back, your questions, and Ryan Lindley right after this. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. Game 2 of 3 between the Padres and the Mets coming up. Ian Kennedy, big start for him. Noah Syndergaard making his fifth big league start. They call him Thor. He is a large man, at least by baseball standards. And football standards a little bit differently. Ryan Lindley is here, quarterback. Great Aztec, San Diegan, and Padre fan, man. Thanks for stopping by. This is fun.
Thanks for having me. It's a blast. Always fun to get down to the ballpark. Fantastic atmosphere, and obviously this year it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So how closely, I mean, you know, for people who watched you with the Aztecs and everything, it's fun knowing, you know, a local guy and a guy from a different sport is following the team, but, like, you're pretty into the Padres from what I understand.
I'm diehard, man. You know what, I was all the way from 94, 98, some of the great runs there in the 90s, and, you know, when I was at school, I used to just hop on the trolley and shoot down for some games, a Friday, Saturday game. It was a blast. So me and a couple of buddies, I'd drag them along, and we'd have a good time.
That's awesome.
So what's your thoughts so far?
You know, I think, obviously, and you've heard some of the guys talk, I think they're not where they want to be, but I think there's a lot to be excited about. And I was joking with my dad last night. I said, I haven't been this excited since – probably false enthusiasm of thinking Phil Nevin and Ryan Klesko were going to take us to the World Series back in the day. But, you know, I think it's a great group. I think they got a good pitching staff, and I think everybody's going to kind of gel here when they hit their stride and get into the second half of the season.
Yeah, the gelling is an interesting thing because that was something I feel like we talked about endlessly during spring training and the beginning of the season, and then we sort of stepped aside from it. They got off to a nice start, and we said, okay, they're gelled. But, I mean, you've been in, you know, professional football locker rooms. You know what this kind of thing is, and obviously Kurt, you know, in clubhouses in the major leagues. Like, it's not something that happens quickly necessarily with all these new pieces.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think in football, in the NFL especially, you got 16 games to figure that out. So it's tough, and you try to do that in the off-season program. But, you know, there were a lot of pieces that were thrown together in this thing, and great pieces, you know, as you can see. And A.J. Preller made some great moves. But I think it's going to take time. And, you know, where they're at right now and where they are in 3 months, 6 months, wherever it may be, I think people are going to be excited about it. So I think it's just the ceiling's high and the sky's the limit for these guys.
He knows the game. Yeah. So I'm going to ask him about the correlation between football and baseball as far as a guy changing a team or changing teams or even bringing in three or four new players and all of a sudden go into the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball. Do you think it's easier in football for that to happen or
you know,
the situation like is here?
It's tough to say. I mean, I stopped playing baseball in high school, so I can't even pretend to compare that I know what those guys are going through on some level. But I know in the football realm, I think it's tough just because, you know, you need 11 moving parts to make sure things get done. And you look at a guy like Phillip Rivers here in San Diego and how he's had so much success is because he's such a field general out there. He's such a leader that he makes sure, regardless if it's Jacoby Jones coming in this year to the Chargers, he's going to make sure week one that him and them two are on the same page and they're doing the right thing. So I think it's a lot about the kind of leaders you bring in, and I'm not sure, you know, I've watched a good amount, but I don't know the personalities of these guys on the Padre team. So it's going to see who's the leaders, who steps up, and who kind of gets these guys to come together as quick as possible.
No, it's funny, though, because when the Padres were having this offseason, I was almost thinking about the NFL because the amount of turnover that takes place on an NFL team year to year is basically what the Padres did this year with their big league roster, which was very unusual in baseball. So you guys are dealing with a crazy amount of turnover pretty much every season, right?
Yeah, and I think the salary cap's a big part of that. Yeah. Obviously, look at the financial aspect of it. But for sure, and I think in football, it's the quarterback that you look to bring those guys together. You know, I played with Phillip here part of last year. I've played with Carson Palmer in Arizona, and I think those two guys are great at getting people together, buying into what the team is looking to do goal-wise, is whether it's a Super Bowl, whether it's the off-season program, short-term, long-term goals, and they get guys to come in and buy in quickly. So it's easy to do with those guys. And, you know, it seems like just watching from afar, in Phoenix, it seems like, you know, Norris is that kind of a guy who's going to bring the guys together. And obviously your catcher is a little bit of a field general out there. So hopefully he can kind of keep taking the reins and taking them forward.
You could be a baseball analyst, man. Ryan Lindley, hey, this isn't bad at all. All right, I know you said you watched the show yesterday, which we appreciate. So, you know, we do Twitter questions. So let's we got a bunch coming in, you know, some stuff about Ryan Lindley, some baseball stuff, and you can just be part of the conversation with us here. Jay Gordon is just excited that you're here. He says, hey, nice, at Ryan Lindley 14 on Padres Social Hour. Similar sentiment from Ryan, who's just excited to have you here. So that's nice as well. Right? You got that one, Blooper? Yeah, there it is. Ryan, he says, one of my favorites. That's very nice. You're one of his favorites.
Awesome.
Awesome. All right. So Gavin gives us a conversation between he and his daughter, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Here, this is good. We were talking about Taylor Swift, right? You say, oh, hey, we got all these cool people stopping by. Ryan Lindley just stopping by. You know, Kevin Burkhardt just stopping by. Heath Bell just stopping by. Friar Fever says, well, you know what that means. Taylor Swift, it's got to happen.
Well, Mick wanted to come on the show.
That's it.
Last week, but Blooper, we didn't have room for him.
Blooper couldn't close the deal with the Rolling Stones. He couldn't get Mick Jagger on the show.
They wanted to come on, but I have Raleigh Fingers and Eddie Murray.
Well, you know what? As a baseball fan, I'm going to say the latter is appealing, more appealing to me, but that's just myself. I don't know if that's the general audience.
You don't have to take Blooper off the hook. So he flunked in trying to get the Rolling Stones. So, you know, Taylor Swift is coming here in August to do a concert at Petco. So Seth has guaranteed us that he will have Taylor Swift on the show before her concert here.
Isn't that
right, Seth?
No.
he's all nervous. But hopefully you can do that there. all right, there was a question that came in earlier, Kurt. The Mets are going to a six-man rotation coming up now, which is an interesting thing. You don't see a lot of it. The timing for the pitchers, right? These guys, they come up every fifth day. I throw. I've got my bullpens in between. What do you make of the decision by Terry Collins, who I know you know, sort of going to that and how it could impact things for them moving forward?
It's kind of surprising me. I don't know if it fits well for their organization, having a six-man rotation. But, you know, if you get if you move a date, I mean, that kind of knocks things out of whack. It really does. And I think if you do have a guy in a six-man rotation, what are you going to do with your 1, 2, and 3 guys?
Yeah.
If there's a rain out or if there's an off day, you certainly got to knock the 5 or 6 guy out. And then what's that going to do to them? I don't think they're going to be as sharp. That's my personal opinion.
It's just like I would refer to you, obviously, on your personal opinion over mine. But listening to Mark Grant last night, he said something about the frequency that you pitch and how that kind of takes you where you get into a rhythm at the end of the season. And most guys get that, and it happens in the NFL as well. You get a feel, you hone your game in, and at the end of the year you're pitching your best or you're playing your best. And I think that's going to be something interesting to see if they continue to go forward with that, is how those guys pitch and if they're playing their best at the end of the year or if they're kind of falling behind from the rest of the league.
Well, not only that, but I mean, so much so that guys are creatures of habit, right? You know, I mean, athletes, I mean, we all are, I guess, to a certain extent. But when you get into the grind of a season, you know, right? Like in the NFL, like that Thursday night game, that could throw guys off. I mean, it's something you have to deal with, and you have the short week, but everybody's a creature of habit to a certain extent. You're just messing with that here, I feel like.
No doubt, and I think the Thursday night game is a good point. I think another thing is some of these colleges now are going to the quarterback by committee approach.
Sure.
And I think that's something that quarterback is a position where you want to get in a rhythm. You got to get in a rhythm, and you're going to play your best in mid to late season when you're feeling that. And I think you know, to take that away from a guy, like you say, with elite athletes, creatures of habit, guys that want to get in their zone, it's going to be tougher for those guys to get to that point.
I think you're taking the sharpness away.
Yeah. And, I mean, a part of it, I imagine, is that, you know, with Harvey, you know, they maybe want to limit, you know, the number of pitches he throws this year coming off the elbow surgery. So this is a way to sort of extend things out. And I get that, but if that means he can make 2 more starts this year maybe than he would have, okay, or 2, like, into the playoffs.
2 less.
Yeah, 2 less during the regular season, so they could have 2 more. I don't know. I mean, that's all part of it. But it would be really interesting to see if this thing lasts. But I guess it's nice to be able to do it, to have 6 guys. I mean, the Padres, theoretically, when Brandon Morrow comes back from the disabled list, hopefully soon, you figure that could be something they might be interested in. But Buddy kind of shot that down yesterday a little bit, I think. You know, he says, hey, look, you know, one of those 3 guys is going to go to the bullpen, Kennedy, Morrow, or Despaigne. You know, Morrow has in the past pitched out of the bullpen. Despaigne, obviously, as recently as this year, has pitched out of the bullpen. But, yeah, the 6-man thing, it's very interesting that the Mets are giving it a shot.
They just extended out to 9 or 10. Just let them go 9 innings. You don't need a bullpen.
There you go. Just everybody.
Or have one or two guys in the bullpen just for emergencies.
What if they took that sixth guy and they split the fifth start with the fifth starter? So, like, they sort of – like, the one guy you're saying, hey, just give me four innings tonight or five innings. And then the second guy, hey, give me the next four innings. I don't know. Stupid. This is what happens when you talk before you think. It's something
stupid,
I've done.
Stupid or innovative. It's one or the other.
That's a great idea.
Line. It's a fine line. Yeah. One last question from Ryan Lindley. David Renteria on Twitter wants to know who your favorite Padre is this year and which Padre do you get excited about? So you got to be a fan here. Who's your favorite guy? You brought up Derek Norris, so what do you think?
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that I think is kind of an East County blue-collar guy I like a lot. But I think you'd have to just go with the numbers here and say Justin Upton's going to be my favorite Padre this year. He's playing out of this world, and hopefully he's in a Padre uniform for years to come.
Now you're talking. Great stuff, man. Ryan Lindley, the former Aztec NFL quarterback, really awesome of you to stop by. We appreciate it, and you're welcome to hang out anytime you want to get your baseball fix.
Love it. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Absolutely. That is Ryan Lindley. Plenty more to come on Social Hour, including some good news when it comes to injury. Yonder Alonso back in the starting lineup. Talk about that when we return. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Thanks again to Ryan Lindley for stopping by. More Padres Social Hour right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Big thanks to Ryan Lindley for stopping by. Former Aztec quarterback. Great dude. I was with the Cardinals last year. A little bit of time with San Diego as well. And he's a big Padre fan, man.
He absolutely is. I'm screaming when we're getting ready to go back on the air to Blooper, saying I was surprised he didn't have a clip of Philip Rivers when Ryan mentioned his name.
Yeah, exactly. Blooper's usually so on top of that. Anyway, Ryan Lindley was on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. All right, mentioned this right before the break. Yonder Alonso is back, so let's do an AMR injury report. He has been on the disabled list since May 9th, retroactive to May 8th with the shoulder. He had his rehab starts with Lake Elsinore, with El Paso, and now Yonder Alonso is back. He's been activated off the disabled list. Corey Mazzoni optioned back to the minors. Also on the injury front, Will Myers expected to swing the bat tomorrow, which is maybe just the best news you could hear right now from a Padre perspective.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, you
if
should
I'm
be.
If I'm excited, all of you should be excited because Will Myers, I think, is a very important part of this offense this year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He's a spark plug guy, not to mention a production guy. He is a very, very good hitter.
Plus, he's fun to watch.
He is fun to watch.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love watching Will Myers play baseball?
I love
you. Got to be crazy not to love Will Myers watching Will Myers play baseball. But he's going to swing tomorrow, so that's a step forward. And it doesn't mean he's back on Friday or anything like that. But it's a step forward for Will Myers. He's going to take this trip with the team to Cincinnati and Atlanta, and hopefully things progress. Hopefully everything is good with the wrist. Maybe a rehab assignment. I don't know. And eventually, hopefully, not too long from now, like Yonder tonight, back in the starting lineup.
He's out doing a lot every day, though.
Yes, he's doing everything but swinging the bat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, he might be close.
Okay. I like the smirk on your face right now.
No, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just really hoping.
Because there's a lot of times when you know stuff that I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, you don't know.
I really don't know.
Okay.
No, I don't.
So you're just...
I watched him. I mean, Coach Roberts was hitting him some fire from second base.
Yeah.
To first base today, endangering camera crews and everybody that were behind him. Him and Matt Kemp were over fielding these short hoppers that Dave Roberts was trying to hit over at first base. I mean, he looked like he was good.
Yeah, yeah. He's been keeping up on the physical stuff,
mm-hmm.
On the fielding, on the running, on everything, the segue riding, everything but the hitting. And tomorrow that's supposed to change. That's the AMR injury report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amr-sandiego.com. All right, so Yonder is back. Let's fire up the full starting lineup for the Padres tonight. The starting nine against the Mets. The Padres are taking on this New York team. Blooper looks frazzled. Do we not have the lineup? He told me he had the lineup, Kurt.
I can see it.
Oh, hashtag blame Blooper.
I know what it is.
You know what? He was it's such nice things you were saying about him earlier. And now, oh, there it is. It's the Padres starting lineup presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. All right, so Norris is in the two-hole, Venable in center. Upton Kemp 3-4 once again. And look at that, right back into the five-hole. Yonder Alonso starting at first base. Middlebrooks, Spangenberg, Amarista, and Kennedy after that. So nice to see Yonder Alonso's name back in there.
What do you look for out of Kennedy tonight?
Bounce back. Mm-hmm. That was his worst start of the year last time out, right? I mean, he had all kinds of problems against Pittsburgh in his last start. He's sort of been one-on, one-off a little bit, you know, since coming off the disabled list. This is a big one for him, right? We just talked about it. Kennedy, Morrow, Despaigne. One of those guys is going to the bullpen. A big part of that decision, you got to figure, is going to be based upon how the guy pitches, how those guys pitch. This is a big start for Ian Kennedy. He's working on stuff.
I've never seen him have two bad outings in a row.
All right.
So I'm looking for tonight's game to be well pitched by both teams.
All right, I like it. Syndergaard and Kennedy is the pitching matchup. We'll take a break, come back. We will do our Supercuts head-to-head challenge, Blooper versus KB, Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back to Petco Park. With Kurt Pavakwa, I'm Jesse Agler. Hey, James Shields pitching tomorrow night's game.
Yes.
That's worth showing up to if you're a fan, right?
Sure.
Maybe you don't have tickets. You could always buy them, of course, at the box office here at Petco Park or at Padres.com. Or you could answer the following trivia question correctly and win a pair. No, four tickets. We're going to give away four tickets.
Really?
To tomorrow night's game.
On this show?
Right now.
Wow.
We didn't even promote this or tease this. We wanted it to be a big surprise. So here's how this works. The first person to correctly answer the trivia question by tweeting at Padres with the correct answer and the hashtag PadresSH will win four tickets to tomorrow night's game. So here's how it's going to go. I'm going to ask a question. You're going to send the correct answer at Padres on Twitter, and you have to use the hashtag PadresSH. Did I explain that straightforward enough?
Yeah.
Sometimes people complain, oh, I didn't get it. I didn't understand what you wanted. Use the hashtag and write at Padres. That's it, with the correct answer. So are you ready for the question?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Well, no, you can't win these tickets.
Oh, I can't?
No, you have a credential. You go up to the press box.
Oh.
You're a professional, for goodness sakes.
So I was going to try to do it under my pseudo-Twitter name that you don't know about.
Oh, you have a secret Twitter. I didn't know that.
Dr. K.
Dr. K, of course, yeah. Yeah, you and Dwight Gooden have been fighting over that one. All right, so the correct answer, at Padres, with the hashtag PadresSH, and you'll win. The first person to do that wins four tickets to tomorrow night's game. James Shields on the mound. A lot of All-Star talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was the very first Padre to appear in an All-Star game? That's the question. Who was the first Padre ever, so obviously you're going back, to appear in an All-Star game? Not be selected to the All-Star team, but to actually play in the game.
Oh, that's a trick question.
That's a little bit tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. And if you are the first person to tweet the answer, you'll win four tickets to tomorrow night's game. The four tickets will be at The Point, presented by Ballast Point, one of the newest seating spaces here. The seats offer beautiful views of the field, along with in-seat waiter service with beer from Ballast Point. Get your tickets for The Point at Padres.com. First person to correctly answer the trivia question following the instructions will be sitting at The Point tomorrow night. We'll take a break, let you know who wins right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back, Padres Social Hour. We asked the trivia question, first Padre to appear in an All-Star game. A lot of wrong guesses. Canizaro, that was your guess. People were right. He was the first Padre to be selected to the All-Star team in 1969, but he did not appear in the game. Two guys did not appear for the National League. It was the two guys in 69 from the two expansion teams. Canizaro for the Padres and Rusty Staub for the Expos. They were the only guys not to appear that year. So you have to fast forward 1 year, and Mark D was the correct answer. He was the first guy with the right answer, catcher Cito Gaston, in 1970. Where was the 1970 All-Star game? Cincinnati. Same place as this year's All-Star game. Different ballpark, of course.
There was a major event that happened during that All-Star game. that probably ended somebody's career about.
Fossey play at the plate with Pete Rose. Yeah. Cito Gaston catching for the National League. So there you go. Congrats, Mark D. Enjoy the four seats at the point tomorrow. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
All right, Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Who you got? Bloopers first. Blooper, who are you picking today?
Norris, batting second. I like it.
He likes Norris in the two-hole, KB.
Venable.
All right, you're taking Will. You like the lefty.
He hits right in front of Norris, too.
Ah, the leadoff man.
So you can put pressure on him.
All right, we'll check back tomorrow, see who wins. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail. The cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Thanks to Ryan Lindley for stopping by, also Kevin Burkhart. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4:30. Remember, it's a 6:10 game. Have a good night.